Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the TCS Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kedar Shirali. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Inba. Good evening and welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us today to discuss TCS's financial results for the fourth quarter and full year, fiscal year 2013, that ended March 31st, 2013. This call is being webcast through our website, and an archive, including the transcript, will be available on the site for the duration of this quarter. The financial statements, results, presentation, and press releases are also available on our website. Our leadership team is present on this call to discuss our results. We have with us today Mr. N. Chandrasekaran, Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director.
Hello, everyone.
Mr. Rajesh Gopinathan, Chief Financial Officer.
Hi.
Mr. Firoze Vandruwala, Director.
Hello, everyone.
And Mr. Ajoy Mukherjee, Head of Global Human Resources.
Hi, everyone.
Chandra and Rajesh will give a brief overview of the company's performance, followed by a Q&A session. As you are aware, we don't provide specific revenue or earnings guidance. Anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. We have outlined these risks in the second slide of the analyst presentation available on our website and emailed out to everyone on our mailing list. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to Chandra.
Thank you, Kedar. First of all, it's a pleasure to meet all of you over audio for this call. I'd like to start by saying that we have ended the financial year FY13 with a very strong quarter once again. Firstly, in terms of annual performance, we have delivered a volume growth of 16.8%, which translates into a constant currency revenue growth of 16.2%. In rupee terms, it is close to 29%, and in dollar terms, it is 13.7%. And as we had said that we have come ahead of the NASSCOM estimate, the CC growth pretty much represents the volume. The pricing has been pretty stable all through the year. On a quarterly basis, Q4, we have delivered a volume growth of 4.4%, a CC growth of 4%, dollar term growth of 3.1%, and rupee term growth of 2.2%. And margin, we have had two important headwinds. One is a settlement costing 161 crores, or almost 98 basis points, and a currency headwind of 64 basis points, 100 crores. So from a margin perspective, and on the revenue side, we have had a currency-related impact of almost 282 crores. And on the margin side, we have been able to improve our operational performance to be able to manage the headwind reasonably so that we drop only around 73 basis points to end the year at 26.5% in Q4. On a yearly level, we are exiting the year at an operating margin of 27%, which is what we have been indicating. We've had a good net income growth, both on the quarterly level and also on the yearly level. Deal wins have been very good this quarter, 11 deal wins, 52 new customers, and for the first time our revenues crossed the $3 billion mark, and our growth has been pretty secular. We have done very well in all sectors. In constant currency terms, financial services has produced more than 5%, manufacturing and retail are about 4%, in dollar terms they are about percentage point down. In terms of services, it's been again a very good quarter where our enterprise solutions and infrastructure have stood out, while all the other services have done well also. In terms of markets, continental Europe has been standing out, but we have delivered growth in the US as well as India and Latin America and other markets as well. So it's been a pretty secular growth in terms of markets, industries and services. Digital is seeing an uptick. We have signed smaller size deals. Most of the digital deals are very small and short-term deals. but about 100 deals in that area. The headcount addition has been healthy. On a gross level, we added 20,098 employees, and the utilization is a healthy 82%. For the year, we added about 69,768 professionals for FY13. And we have declared a dividend of final dividend of 13 rupees, taking the overall dividend to 22 rupees for the year per share. And we also declared a wage increase of about 7% on an average for people in India, and also for people in western markets or developed markets, 2 to 4%, and in other developing markets close to 4 to 6%. That's the wage increase we have effected with effect from April 1st. Looking forward, our pipeline is very strong. We see a momentum. We see spend in the discretionary bucket as well as in run the business, and it is pretty secular. We are pursuing opportunities across sectors in other in all markets. And I believe that telecom will also show recovery based on what we see with our clients. So we would like to maintain our stand that FY14 is going to be a better year than FY13, and we will come ahead of NASCOM estimate. With those words, I would like to pass it on to Rajesh for his comments.
Thank you, Chandra. Chandra has broadly covered both the revenue and the margin breakups. So let me quickly run through some of the full year numbers and then we'll take it on questions. So for the full year, at a revenue level, we did 28.8% in INR terms, 16.2% on constant currency, and 13.7% on reported dollar terms. We have been able to defend our aspirational operating margin target of 27%. And our net margin for the full year expanded by 35 basis points to 22.1%. As Chandra mentioned, we have declared a final dividend of 13 rupees to a share, taking the total payout for the year to 22 rupees per share, and that represents a 40% dividend payout ratio on the parent company profits. In terms of cash flows, we had 12,326 crores of, in terms of cash from operations for the full year, and a CapEx spend of 2,592 crores, taking our free cash flow to 9,734 crores for the full year. With that, I would like to conclude that in a quarter with significant headwinds, we have, I'm glad to report that we have been able to minimize the operating margin impact and, in fact, claw back some of it in through rate productivity improvements and a better overall cost management. For the full year, we are happy to be able to come in the kind of range that we had indicated, both on the revenue side as well as on the margin side. As we look forward, we remain committed to operating at the kind of levels that you said. We expect the year to be slightly better than the preceding year, and we expect to be able to defend our margins in a narrow band. Thank you.
Inba, we can take questions now.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Participants are also requested to use only handset while asking a question. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Our first question is from Moshe Katri of Cowen. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks. Congratulations on a very strong quarter and good execution. The market seems to be specifically concerned on the pending legislation regarding H-1B visas and immigration reform here. Chandra, I think it will be really helpful if you kind of give us your view on how well, I don't know if it's well or not, but where are you in terms of your ability to address some of these potential changes and how, you know, significant could these be for your margins down the road?
I think in this area, first we are waiting for the full text of the bill. And as you know, it is only the starting of the the process. It has to go through the committee and in both the houses, and finally there has to be a consensus. So we need to watch this very carefully. But there are going to be some positives and there are going to be some restrictions. As we can see, we are looking at the increased visa cap probably, and also at the same time there are going to be restrictions in terms of either in terms of fee or in terms of other structures. At this point in time, we are just watching this space. As we get more clarity, we will be able to react. But also, as you know, it is not something that is going to happen on a given day. It's going to be announced, and after that, there is going to be a transition over a period of time. So I think this is something that is very important, and we are watching it very carefully, and we will prepare for it as we get the details, but would not react off the cuff in any manner.
Can you remind us what's your on-site headcount right now in the U.S., and this is purely U.S.-based employees?
We don't split out that and give that information.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from Joseph Foresi of Jenny Montgomery Scott. Please go ahead.
Hi. I wonder, you know, you've talked about tracking ahead of last year and then being ahead of NASSCOM for this year. With budgets set, could you explain to us what the difference is between this year and next year and what's providing you with that confidence and maybe any color you can give us on budgets and decision-making?
I think the fundamental thing is coming from two aspects. The first aspect is the clarity in decision-making in our client segments. Almost every single client I've met with, I think they have a very clear agenda and they are going about it in a systematic fashion. And we are not finding that decisions are getting delayed. And the way to look at the client segment is on their IT spend, there are three different buckets. One, clients who are clearly increasing their spend, either in terms of investing in digital or in a variety of other programs, where the spend, overall spend is going up. Second, there are clients where the spend is remaining the same, but they are giving us opportunities where we are able to address more of the pie. The third one is spend is getting reduced, but then they are really driving efficiency and simplification in the back office and investing the savings in customer-facing programs in the front office. So that's the way I would characterize the spend scenario. From a TCS point of view, I would say that we see opportunities with regard to simplification, which could mean a rationalization of the infrastructure portfolio, rationalization of the application portfolio, or transformation of SAP footprint. But any sort of initiative that is resulting in simplification of IT infrastructure, cost structure getting to a different base and preparing them for the future. The second is the whole digital area, which is a combination of technologies, mobility, big data, cloud, and social. And each of those technologies are at different levels of maturity. You see more in the mobile, multi-channel customer experience systems than in some of the other technologies. The whole data architecture is getting revisited in the context of big data. So there are a variety of things that are happening in that arena. The third is customers who are trying to put global systems in place, a huge transformation of infrastructure, particularly. Those are very large deals which have been coming up for renewal after 5 years, 10 years, 15 years contracts. And there's a lot of transformation to be done. And then the whole regulatory aspect is also driving spend. So I think to me, there are two things. the customer decision making, customer confidence, customer behavior, customer clarity. And vis-a-vis the second aspect is what we see in terms of our confidence, our pipeline, deal closures, signing up of discretionary spend deals, etc. So on both these, I would say that we feel pretty confident.
Okay. And then my second question is really two parts. First, what are you seeing on the discretionary spending side, and how do you look at that in relation to your consulting practice at this point? And then second, if you could just give us an update on what you're seeing in banking and financial services. So, you know, what you're seeing on the discretionary side and how we reconcile that with the consulting and your commentary about demand being better. And then the second one, you know, what you're seeing in BFSI.
The discretionary spend relates to multiple areas. Just linking it to one service line is not a good thing. Discretionary spend is happening in enterprise space, enterprise solution space. It's happening in digital. It's happening in supply chain. It's happening in advisory. So it's happening in a variety of ways. And also, companies are going and declaring programs on customer experience transformation. It's called in different ways. A retail company may call it multi-channel. Some other sector will call it front-end customer experience system, etc. So I think from a service line perspective, I think all of these things are coming together. I think the power of a model like ours is our ability to be able to bring consulting from advisory, facilitation, program management, change management perspective, and domain deep knowledge from industry perspective, and the technology leadership from tools, digital perspective. How do we bring it all together in front of the customer and help the customer to think through? Because some of these transformations are not about a large transformation program where they're going to roll out SAP in 100 locations. With a couple of $100 million budget. It could be, but that's not long. So many times these are about rethinking their business process, rethinking their business channels, etc. So I think it is happening in different ways. So we need to adapt to this, and we need to work with customers to be able to deliver.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from Mithali Ghosh of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks, and congratulations on a great quarter. Just following up on the last question, Mr. Chandra, if you could mention a little bit on you know, the trends you're seeing in the banking and financial services and how that compares with the previous year.
I think the mood in the banking financial services is quite good from our point of view. There are a few things happening. One is definitely there are a lot of regulatory reporting, which not necessarily only about implementing systems for a Basel III or something like that. It's also about having an architecture, a data architecture, a front-end architecture in such a way that data can be reported out on a real-time basis. There are plenty of opportunities that are happening in the data side, plenty of opportunities in the front-end side. Customers when I say customers, end consumers, the clients for the customers for the banks are on different systems, so all of those have to be looked at because banks traditionally have had wealth management system separate, retail management system separate. So all those things are being brought together. So there is a whole rethinking about the front office systems. So domain-wise, there are opportunities in rethinking payments, rethinking lending systems, origination systems. And if you take trading applications, there is a lot of platform-centric approach that is emerging. There are several opportunities with the fundamental goal being find a cost structure which is lower than what it is today, because banks really feel that their revenues are shrinking, so they're very focused on that on the one side. On the other side, they want to have systems which are state of the art so that they are able to create growth in the future. So both are happening at the same time, and it's very important to be able to understand in the context of each bank and each market, how do you partner? And that's what we are doing effectively.
Sure. So would you assume that, I mean, do you expect that banking could grow in line with or higher than company growth rate this year?
My current take is that it will at least be in line with the company growth rate as of now.
Okay. Thanks. And in terms of, you know, the margin, you've done a great job on margins this far. But, you know, could you discuss the levers in the context of investments you need to make and wage hikes, given that utilization is at an optimum and pricing is probably stable at best? So I know, Rajesh, you mentioned that, you know, you do hope to defend the margins, but if you could add some color on that, please.
Mithali, I think first I want to say that we had given an indication that we'll be around the 27%, and we've been able to deliver that in spite of some of the headwinds which were unforeseen. And we also said that when the rupee depreciated, that some of the margin levers we are going to reinvest in some of the growth areas that we wanted to invest in, and that's what we did. And we've also maintained that we are pretty comfortable to be able to maintain margins at this level, and as long as the currency volatility is in a very narrow band, we will be able to do that. In a quarter, if it is just is extremely volatile, then obviously it will pose different sort of challenges. But in terms of levers, I think we have quite a few that we'll be able to exercise. Our utilization will definitely go up. We are operating at 81, and 81, 82. We have clearly said that we would like to cross the 85 mark, given our size. There are opportunities which will come in the productivity area in terms of automation tools and other things that we bring. And as we go into the future, our revenues from the intellectual property and the platforms will continue to increase, though not sharply, but on a quarter-by-quarter basis, we expect that those things will increase. And there are other operational parameters and efficiencies which we have in mind, which will definitely continue to leverage. And the pricing per se, we think, is going to be stable, unless or otherwise it is a high-value service, and some of those will happen. But we are intending that the pricing will be more or less flat. So, under this context, I think we are comfortable.
Thanks. That's very encouraging. And just lastly, in terms of the hiring target for next year, Ajoy, and, you know, the targeted mix of fresher versus lateral, and if you could just remind us how the employee pyramid looks currently, please.
Yeah, the target, what I have said is we will be hiring some 45,000. And as far as trainees are concerned, we have already completed that exercise, and we have given offers to 25,000 trainees. They would start joining from June onwards, and as far as the trainees that we had offered last year, all of them have joined in during this financial year itself. Now, so that is all that I have at this point in time, and so the trainee number I've given you, the rest will be the laterals plus the trainees that we will be hiring in overseas markets and everywhere else. So the rest would depend on the deal pipeline, how they mature, and how we go about hiring. As far as India is concerned, we have said that we'll be we would like to make it at 60-40 kind of a ratio, and if you look at last year, that's we have done better than that, slightly better than that. So that's where we would be.
Sure. And the employee pyramid, would you have a number?
Employee pyramid in the sense, what kind of number?
As in, you know, what is the proportion of people, employees, less than 3 years experience, perhaps?
That I think if you that number we give it in our analyst presentation, and if you look at the number, it's 60.8% are with more than 3 years of work experience.
Sure. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ankur Rudra of Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Congratulations on a great quarter. Chintra, could you comment on, you know, you made a few comments on the budgets, but on the spending and allocation, is it a bit more normal this year compared to last year? And in terms of, do you see less of month-to-month or quarter-to-quarter budgeting in any of your verticals?
I think so. So my sense from meeting with clients and also the feedback that I'm getting from the team is that the spending pattern is fairly stable. There are no ad hoc decisions. Clients are going about doing things in a very systematic way. I think there is not a panic situation. So our comfort on the client clarity is much higher this year than last year.
Fair enough. And could you also share what proportion of your overall growth or booking in this quarter, maybe in the last 6 months or a year, come from restructuring deals? Because clearly that's an area which has seen a lot of growth in the market.
Oh, great. Very difficult to comment on that because I don't know which deal is the restructured deal. I don't have such a definition at all. So these are, very difficult to say. And any deal that you take as outsourcing, maybe outsourcing deal, sometimes the customers give you an outsourcing deal and want you to move to your target platform. So, I mean, honestly, I can't put a number because that's not the way we track it.
Okay. Then maybe on from a geographical perspective, clearly India saw a lot of strong growth this time and contributed substantially to your incremental growth. Could you comment on the nature of the deal contract here and how sustainable the momentum there is?
Yeah, I think India has been volatile for us. As you know, we have always said that there will always be a blip in India. Suddenly there is an increase and then sometimes there is a sharp decline, primarily because the discretionary versus run the business mix in India is very lopsided towards discretionary. So it always happens like that, and there are quarters in which we have gained, there are quarters in which we have suffered. But overall, I think if you see the constant currency basis, I think you will not find India to be significantly tilting the growth. Even LATAM has grown extremely well on a constant currency basis. It has also grown double digit, and India is double digit. And continental Europe on a constant currency basis is more than 7.5%. And so, if you look at the growth, it has come from different markets. And the incremental revenue on constant currency basis is more than 100 million, I think. So I think it's been a fairly distributed quarter. So I don't think that we should worry too much about this volatility in India because this is something which used to be much more sharper. Two things have happened. One is the sharpness of that volatility has reduced. The second thing is that also the overall size of the company has grown large, that it does affect a little bit, but not a great deal.
Fair enough. Thank you. Best of luck.
Thank you. Our next question is from Keith Bachman of BMO. Please go ahead.
Hi. I have a couple also. Could you talk about what you see as the geographic trends? Specifically this quarter, North America was below your average growth, and the UK was as well. Is that a trend that you think continues? And did you see more specifically incremental weakness in North America? By the tone of your comments, I gather you're actually feeling a bit better about the overall demand picture, but I wanted to see if you could parse that down a little bit to the geographic markets, and then I have a follow-up. Thank you.
Our pipeline in North America remains very robust. So we believe that North America is a very important market, and it is a market where we see a lot of opportunities. Our deep pipeline is strong in North America. Decisions get taken faster. Adoption of technology is superior. For these reasons, we find the North America market to be strong, and we don't see a letdown, let up in that market.
Okay.
UK market is also very strong, and in this quarter we have had a decline primarily due to a drop in our revenues in Diligent, one of our subsidiaries. The nature of that business is that it's very difficult to predict that every quarter there will be an equal amount of revenue. So otherwise, I think yearly they have done well also on a yearly basis. So overall, I think we are bullish about both markets.
Okay. My follow-up relates to that is the consulting business. If you look out over the next 12 months, would you expect consulting to grow at, below, or in line with whatever the corporate average growth rate ends up being?
I can answer the question, but I'm more worried about what you will interpret that answer. let me first address the interpretation, then I can answer the question directly. I think,
okay.
You know, I would just caution you from extrapolating discretionary spend with the consulting number that we are going to report. See, the
right.
Consulting number, enterprise solutions, the whole digital space, and some of the large transformation programs where our consulting is embedded in the industry units, all of it will play a part in discretionary spend. So I want you to keep that in mind whenever you extrapolate. But consulting per se, I think, should grow at least at the company growth rate.
Okay. Maybe
slightly ahead.
Okay, that's it for me. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ananta Narayan of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and a quick question for Chandra. See, at this point of time, we're seeing some fairly divergent performance from the various large companies in the sector. So do you see the risk of some of the lesser performing ones, you know, behaving in a manner that could hurt the others?
You know, I think this question was asked, I think, earlier also. But, you know, I would like to say that we don't see that happening.
And sort of any reason why you feel confident about that?
I don't know if there is any reason why you feel it the other way. Yeah, I think I can only go by situations like this has always existed. You've always had a variety of players at any point in time, even if you take the last 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. So I think that has not affected one company's performance. At least we have not felt it.
Okay, Chandra. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from Divya Nagarajan of UBS Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, Chandra. Congrats on a good execution. Just a couple of questions. We've seen good numbers, so I just wanted to point out one thing that struck me. I think last quarter we discussed your large clients, your top clients, and we had said that these would grow pretty much in line with the budget growth for the clients themselves. I noticed that your top client has slipped to negative territory this quarter. Should we be worried at all, or is this just a quarterly aberration?
See, I think I did answer this question. First of all, let me be absolutely clear that there are no client-specific issues in any of our clients. And we are seeing opportunities across the board. But you should also remember that the growth rate of clients who are very large, especially our top 2, 3, 4 customers, cannot be uniformly high in every quarter. That's something that you need to remember. The second one is that we report the LTM number. So as we go into the future, it's only getting better with our clients. So I would basically not signal any caution.
Got that. On the acquisition front, you did speak about more acquisitions in Europe, and we've recently acquired a French company as well. Typically, these acquisitions tend to be margin dilutive, and I heard your commentary on margins, and we've done a great job maintaining them so far. But do you think that your current model gives you the buffer to absorb these kind of dilutions if the ticket sizes get bigger than what we've been used to in the past?
At least I can talk about the acquisition we have done. We are confident of the margin, including the acquisition that we have done. And future, if you do something, at that time we can talk about it.
Got it. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from Nimish Joshi of CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi. We just wanted to check much of this, around a third of the incremental growth is just from equipment, software, license. Is that from the India business almost or anything else? And secondly, do you think, I mean, so much of last year, of course, everyone was saying India business or the government business is a bit slow. Is that kind of thawing up of in the last few months? Are you seeing any signs of those?
I think most of it is the India business. But on the second question, I think these are deals we have been pursuing for a long time here.
Okay, so it's not, I mean, finally they came through. Okay, okay. Fine, thanks. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Srivatsan Ramachandran of Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Chandra. I just wanted to get an update on the non-linearity. We've been, sometime back, we said we're targeting about 10% of incremental revenues would be from non-linear initiatives. Just wanted to know where we are and what are the overall plans.
We have so far, as you know, we are not publishing, but we have an internal target for non-linear. We've been tracking it for the last couple of years, and so far we are on target in terms of our internal milestones. And we are seeing a healthy growth, but it's a very small base. So we'd like to wait for some more time before we give the commentary, but I think it's going in the right direction. We are seeing quarter-on-quarter incremental revenues. We are not declining every quarter. It's increasing. Some quarter we are getting a pop. Some quarter we are getting a marginal increase in growth. But it's very healthy, and at some time we'll come out with more data points.
And then if you could just any update on the JV with Mitsubishi, we started off. How is it shaping up in Japan?
I think that's an on-site development center is the JV, and the relationship with Mitsubishi is going well. And Japan is a market we are definitely focused on, and it's a market which is tough, as all of you know. I would say that the JV is going well, but I think we need to get more clients in Japan, and more importantly, we should be able to scale in Japan. But we small base, but very healthy growth rates.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from Pinku Papan of Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to drill a bit further into the growth in Americas. It was around 2% sequential this quarter. Was it, the same as you expected prior to the quarter, or do you see some kind of push out of revenues into the next quarter?
No. It is in line with our plan.
Okay. And for the next year, do you see the growth coming to be, front-ended like last year, or is there some change in seasonality that you expect?
I think it will be the normal pattern. We expect Q1 and Q2 to be better than Q3, Q4.
Okay. Could you give us a breakup of, revenue like you always give, the volume and pricing granularity?
So for this quarter, the volume is 4.4. Then we have a currency impact of 177 basis points. And an offshore shift of 41 basis points. I think that should account for it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Nitin Padmanabhan of Espirito Santo. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. competitor had basically mentioned that, you know, looking at the visa situation, which is a big unknown considering that you had the window closed in a very few days, what's your view on that, and how do you plan to manage the supply of visas for growth this year?
You know, the visa situation has been difficult for almost a couple of years now. And it's always a combination of, you know, planning as early as you can in terms of the H1s. Second is in terms of rotation of people. Third is in terms of hiring local talent. Fourth is in terms of different states in the U.S. So a combination of this, but the most important thing is the execution plan.
Sure.
There are no magic formula. The more difficult it gets, the more rigorous we plan.
Sure. But do you see this impacting margins in any way this year? Or do you see this leading to higher subcontracting costs in any way? Or it's been planned for and you don't expect any adverse impact?
At this time, we are giving our commentary in the current environment. So we feel that we'll be able to manage. But as things pan out, if there is anything that is very, very material, then we'll definitely come back to you.
Sure. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from Edward Kay of Wells Fargo. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, Ed Case, Wells Fargo. You seem to be continuing to be able to gain market share, grow faster than the industry. You've indicated that expectation as well for the year that's coming. Can you talk a little bit about what's your magic sauce? What, you know, what's getting to have the superior growth? And also, are you seeing any change in the competitive posture of some of the larger multinational providers, particularly in this increasingly visa-constrained environment? Thank you.
I wish I know what the magic sauce is. There is no magic sauce. There is only wholesome food. I think we seem to be doing what we do well. I think we have a pretty good mechanism of listening to the market, working closely with the customers, identify opportunities, collaborate across units, bring the power of TCS in front of the client in every engagement, and invest early, identify opportunities and take some bets, and continue to focus on the employees, keep their morale high and keep the attrition low. I don't know what else to say.
Any sense on your relative pricing to your competitors?
So I think we have maintained a flat pricing for the whole year. And we maintained that. We said at the beginning of the year, we think the pricing is going to be flattish. And that's how we have ended up. We have pretty much translated all the volume into CC growth. Except for a small shift in offshore, pretty much we have converted and the pricing is pretty much stable. So I really...
But I guess the
deals are not so straightforward that everything is the rate card. The deals are complex. So it's very difficult to say what the pricing is vis-a-vis your pricing vis-a-vis somebody else's. It's just not that easy to be able to just say so-and-so is this price. So you are this price, very hard because deal structures are pretty complex.
Great. Thank you and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ravi Menon of Equitas Securities. Please go ahead.
So thank you, Sam. Congratulations on a great quarter. So two questions. One is on, the decline asset delivery solutions, a minor decline. Everything else you've been doing wonderfully well. You know, we've seen very strong performance in ADM. And enterprise solutions. If you could help me understand the decline asset delivery solutions. And within enterprise solutions, if you're starting to see any traction from PeopleSoft 9.2, that would be great.
I think on the first one, I said that when we talk about nonlinear growth, some quarters we got a pop. So we got a pop last quarter compared to this quarter. So size of the business is still small. So the volatility is continuing to exist. So it'll take a little bit of time for us to get to a stage that it is very smooth and then we continue to see incremental growth. So that's the reason, but there is nothing fundamentally wrong. There is no concern. There are no issues. And I'm pretty confident that the asset leverage solutions will do very well. With regard to enterprise solutions, it's very difficult for me to split out opportunities in PeopleSoft and Mindtoo. Very difficult.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ashwin Mehta of Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just one question. In terms of the wage hikes next quarter, what is the impact that you see in terms of margin?
So our wage hikes are pretty much similar to what we had announced last year, and margin impact would also be pretty much in line with that.
Okay. And secondly, in terms of we did a pretty good job ex of that one-off in terms of margins in this quarter. What has driven our largely flattish employee cost in this quarter despite a 12,000 plus people addition in this quarter?
If you look at it on the SG&A side, you would see a slight increase on the employee cost relative to revenue. And at the COR side, you will see a decline on the employee cost to revenue, which is where the productivity impact is coming through. So the initial addition at the trainee level will pop up in the SG&A side, and productivity will appear on the COR side.
Okay, because there's only a 3% move which is seen in terms of employee cost on the SG&A side, while cost of revenue line appears to be more flattish in terms of numbers.
Yep. And that's what the productivity improvement is leading up to, right?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Sandeep Shah of CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Congrats on a good execution. Sir, my question is, even if you look at the LTM and the revenue growth within the top 10 accounts, it has lagged with a big margin in FY 2013. So do you believe that lag may continue entering into FY 2014 when you expect the spend is unlikely to be that volatile, both on the run the business and change the business?
I think, as I said, I can only repeat what I said. There are no client-specific concerns in any one of our top clients. And also, I get a comfort that clients are making decisions and then systematically going about executing. So I would expect that there are not going to be ad hoc stoppage or ad hoc starting up of spending. So we should do well. Exactly how much they'll grow, whether they'll grow in line with the company growth, or they'll grow less or more, I think it's just difficult to say. It's very difficult to say.
So just follow up on that, for you to on a high base, growing at a higher rate may require to invest higher to grow the non-top 10 accounts. So do you believe that investment would be a headwind on the margins, or we will able to maintain?
Yeah, so essentially, some of these metrics have legacy pinches to them. We have been reporting it from the time we listed, but top 10, when you are $1 billion or a couple of $1 billion, and top 10 when you're $12 billion is a different game. So what you should be paying attention to is our overall customer metrics that we report. We've got 500 plus customers in that space. And if you look at that pyramid, there's a very healthy migration, and really the margin will play out on that. So I think it needs to be taken in context of its impact for the total company.
Okay. And Chandra, just last thing is, two of your big competitors from India has been specifically saying that there is a significant pressure on run the business or the non-discretionary business. So do you also believe so, and how we are able to mitigate the same?
You know, I have already answered this question, but primarily from my point of view, some of these deals are structurally very different. And so it's very difficult to say what is the pricing pressure in these deals. We have not only said and we have demonstrated that the pricing is stable in a very tough environment last year. And how a deal is delivered to meet the customer metrics varies from deal to deal. And the size of these deals are so large, there are different opportunities to optimize. So I wouldn't go down that path.
Okay. But do you still believe the headroom for productivity gain is higher for us?
Yeah, the more deals we do, the larger we do, the larger the opportunities.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from Rishi Maheshwari of ING Life. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks and congratulations on good set of numbers. Just a couple of bookkeeping numbers. One that I noticed that loans and advances have grown quite sharply this year versus last year. And if you can give us some sense on what is that on account of. Second, what is your expected tax rate for the next year?
So let me take the second one first. Next year, we will have an effective tax rate increase in the range of about 2%, primarily coming from two areas. One is the increase in the surcharge, which if it goes through, will have an impact. And the second is that some of our facilities which were early on the CZ side will now shift from the 100% bracket to the 50% bracket. So that's the one that you need to look at. And on the first question that you had on the loans and advances, these are really short-term borrowings, more in terms of treasury management, cash flow optimization. So we have been able to deliver a fairly decent yield on the overall cash position. And short term, I think it's about 100 crores or so, if I remember correctly. And that's fairly small in the context of it. Short term borrowings.
No, I was talking about the long term loans and advances, short term loans and advances, where the number has risen from 222 crores to about 2,229 crores to about 5,821 crores.
Oh, I think you're getting it. Where are you seeing this?
This is in your reported balance sheet item, the one which you have sent to on the exchanges.
We'll take this question offline. But our short-term borrowings are 100 crores, not in the thousands of crores.
No, I'm sorry, but this is about the loans and advances and not the borrowings. The current asset line item.
We take this off. We'll clarify that. But for the record, since you asked, we don't have borrowings of the nature that you said. Our short-term borrowings is 100 crores.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Nitin Mehta of Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Well, thanks for the opportunity and congrats to the entire team for another great year. My question was more towards the pricing side. What I wanted to understand was, given the execution from TCS has been so good, if at all there is a possibility for potential pricing increase as we go towards fiscal 14?
Currently, we are assuming a flat pricing. If there is an opportunity, we will look at it.
Sure, but any discussions or if any commentary that you can give, given the superior execution, is that a possibility that comes up in conversations or?
Currently, we are not factoring it in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Sandeep Agarwal of Edelweiss Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question to the management team. Just one question. If you see this quarter's growth, although, Chandra has partly answered it, but if you see this quarter's growth, it seems like it is largely India-driven. If you see it in INR terms, even in constant currency, it is looking heavily tilted toward that. So if you can throw some light on that. And secondly, again, Chandra has already answered it that, continental Europe, one of quarter issues is there. But again, America is also not looking very strong, at least in this quarter. So what can we actually take away from this?
So please don't look at India's percentage terms, but totally if you take the total incremental revenue this quarter and then India also, it is not heavily tilted. On a constant currency basis, if you look at it, it will be probably 25%, not more. So it's not correct to say that it's heavily tilted towards India, because India's nature is like that. There are times we have had to take 30-40% dip in India, and then so it does happen quarter to quarter. So India, nature of the business is like that. But if you take the rest of the world, I think US has done well, Latin America has done well, continental Europe has done well, Asia Pacific has done well, and we have a small dip in UK, but even not dip actually. In constant currency, UK has also grown. In actual currency, UK has had a dip, primarily because of the strengthening of the sterling. In a constant currency basis, even UK has grown 3-3.5%. So there is no, there is a secular behavior of around, see, the company growth in constant currency is about 4%, and everybody is around 2-5%. Or 2-4.5%. India is India and Latin America have grown a little higher. So that's the way to don't look at it from the personal point of view. Look at it from the absolute number point of view.
Okay, and one follow up question from Ajay. Just although Ajay has already communicated that part, but just wanted to clarify, we are talking about 45,000 offers for next year, of which 25,000 have been given for freshers, or what it is actually, if you can clarify.
Yes, total offer, total joining will be 45,000, total gross hire will be 45,000. And towards that, we have already given offers to 25,000 students in campuses who will start joining us starting June in each quarter.
So 20,000, another 20,000 will be non-campus, right?
Yes, that's right. Only thing that you have to understand is all 25,000 may not join up.
Yes.
There is a joining ratio.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you. That's from myself.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ashish Chopra of Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand the revenue growth during the quarter in slightly more details. So if I exclude the revenues from sales and equipment, then the growth in US dollar terms turns out to be 2% against a volume growth of 4.4%. So if you could just help break that out for me, it will be very helpful.
I think the as I have said before, there are quarters in which the India business does go up or go down. And India business is largely SI business, and it does involve software and equipment. So this quarter we have an uptick. There are quarters in which we take a hit. So that happens. And the important thing is that this is not a pass-through. It is not a revenue that comes without margin. These are all part of larger engagements. System integration engagements and integral part of the overall solution. That is why we have been able to give a credible performance on margins. I want to tell you that there is no one-off that has come and helped us in the margin. We have had hit in the margin due to two important headwinds. One, the settlement, and the other one is the currency. But on the other side, we don't have anything one-off that has come. It is all operational performance, and so we have not benefited in a margin-less revenue. That's the way to look at it in the overall scheme of things.
Sure. Though, sir, what I was actually looking for was excluding the India revenue, or excluding the sales of equipment figure, our volume growth would stand to be 4.4%. That's the right understanding, right? And US dollar revenue growth of 2%. So which is where I just wanted to know, how would the breakup
I,
over
I don't have that figure. I have to calculate. But what he says is true. That is the constant currency growth 4%. That is true. And if you exclude this, I don't know what the number is. I need to compute.
Sure, sir. And just one last question. So you said that you expect some turnaround within the telecom vertical. So if you could just help me understand, is it more related to the portfolio of TCS clients that you are seeing, or is there something that could really be, boding better times for the vertical, for the industry at large?
I think it's two or three things that are playing out from my point of view. One is we've had degrowth in a couple of accounts over last year. Not a major degrowth to be concerned about, but small revenue loss here and there, and we've not been able to compensate that with the higher growth. So telecom has been pretty muted all through the last several quarters, and now we think that we have that situation we have bottomed out, and also we have had some client wins all through the last year, and we also feel that the telecom clients are open for digital technologies, and those kind of deals are coming in as well. So the combination of two, three things is giving me confidence that telecom is going to grow from here.
Sure,
sir. I can't really comment whether it is going to be for the whole industry.
Sure, sir. Thanks so much and all the best.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was our last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, all of you, for attending this conference call. And once again, I would like to repeat saying we have had a credible year. Especially, we have been pretty satisfied with the 16.8% volume and 16.2% constant currency growth that we have been able to deliver. And the fact that we've been able to maintain margins at 27% as we exit the year, and for Q4 at 26.5 is good for us, and we go into next year with more confidence, primarily due to the fact that there is a lot of clarity in the way that clients are looking at IT spending and the way they are executing both their transformation projects as well as the discretionary projects. And from our point of view, I think we have made investments in the right places, and we've got an engine that is executing well. So we remain confident for the coming 4 months. Thank you very much, gentlemen and ladies, and look forward to seeing you again for next quarter.
Thank you very much, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of TCS, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.